You better bow your head when you say this name. As the great Steve Forbes now joins us, basketball royalty is descending upon the Basilio show. When I say basketball royalty, I mean a team ranked number two in America with a 34-0 record who, for the last 5 weeks in the season, if you want to look at what it's like in college basketball when you're not a member, and my buddy Phil Martelli at Philly learned this, when you're not a member of the Regal Society, all these writers and all these national broadcasters, they're offended. They're offended by the presence of Wichita State as a number one seed. As I welcome Steve Forbes to the program, Wichita State's on the verge of garnering yet another number one seed after winning their conference tournament over the weekend in a great game with Indiana State. And Coach Forbes, first of all, welcome back, man. Good to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony. It's I always enjoy coming on, and it's been a fun-filled last few weeks, as you could probably imagine here.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Yeah, you know, you don't ever start a season. I've never ever started the season thinking we'd actually run the table. You know, even when I was a junior college coach, I never felt like we'd run the table. And, you know, I really didn't start thinking about it until the last couple weeks of the season. Then I started kind of thinking, well, man, we may have a chance to do this. And then, you know, the media attention, I was telling a friend of mine today, I said, we get more press coverage right now than Obama. And it's probably good. It's really good. And, you know, it's funny what you said about the media and the hating and all that. I don't pay attention to any of that. You know, at least they're talking about us. And, you know, our players do a really good job. We have an unbelievable team, and they do a really good job of blocking out the noise and only listening to what we tell them. And so that stuff really doesn't affect them. But I find a lot of it to be kind of funny, based upon a team that's coming off of Final Four a year ago and had Louisville, you know, down double digits late in the game as a national champion, and then to back it up going 34-0. I really don't see how you could doubt a team like that.
Because you don't play in the right conference, you don't wear the right uniform, you don't have the right lineage.
Well, it's funny, though. Everybody talks about Doug McDermott, and he's a great player and all the points he scored, but he scored 75% or more than that against the Valley. I don't see anybody talking that, well, you know, disvaluing the points that he scored, you know, as a player. So why would they not value the games that we have to win? And, you know, we set up our schedule. The way we set up our schedule is to try to get in the NCAA tournament. We don't set up our schedule because we're thinking about being the number one seed. We're trying to get in the tournament. And we felt like we set up a good schedule. Now, you know, do we have a hard time scheduling some games? Yeah, we do. And, you know, I've heard a couple of these quote-unquote experts say that we should be playing two-for-ones or three-for-ones. Well, that's ridiculous. We're not doing that. And no team worth, you know, no legit program plays that two-for-one. Why should we go someplace two times to get one game in our place? Well, normally, when a high-major team comes to our place, they don't even play us in our arena. They play us downtown. You know, the Vols played us this year. We're very fortunate to have them come here, but they didn't play us in our home arena. They played us downtown. And so, you know, until we get teams that want to play us home and home, we're not going to do that.
You know, it's funny to hear you talk, because these are the same things that were said about Phil Martelli's team 10 years ago. And I've known Coach Martelli forever, and have him on the show frequently. And the thing he said to me back then, and he said it to me privately, is, you know, the basketball establishment in college basketball, it's very dormant. And you don't realize that kind of prejudice is there until you see a team like theirs or yours make a run or be a mainstay for a season and a half. Mm-hmm. And then you see these guys bring their knives out, because they're going to say to you, why don't you guys play two for one or three for one? Why don't they turn around to the same power teams whose feet they kiss and say, why don't you guys play one for one with these guys? It's good for the game. They've got a Final Four caliber team. Why aren't you scheduling them?
And you know what? Scheduling is an individual thing. I mean, scheduling, everybody schedules for the betterment of their program. And I understand that. I get it. It's not for the betterment or the health of our program to play two for ones or three for ones. It makes absolutely no sense. And we've had 150 straight sellouts here at our home. Why would we I mean, we make money playing games at home too. Why would we do that? Why would we, you know, so we can satisfy some national pundit saying, well, you've played a little bit better, you know, schedule. I mean, I can't help it that Alabama didn't have a good year. We can't help that. When we scheduled that game, you know, two years ago, it looked like a good game, you know, on paper. And we went, you know, we played them and we went to their place and played them. You know, I mean, I can't help that. I can't help that BYU beat Texas in a tournament we were in. And not to be, I mean, BYU's playing to go to the tournament tonight against Gonzaga. You know, there were some things that just were out of our control. You know, we beat St. Louis at St. Louis. We beat Tennessee at a neutral, not neutral, but, you know, in our home court, in Wichita. So, and I think the Vols, it looks like to me, have a really good chance to make the tournament. So we're not going to apologize to anybody. We don't have to. We have a really good team. As good a team as I've ever coached. And I feel like I've been around some really good ones, and this one is really special.
You know, you have here, take me inside if you can. You say you don't start the season out saying we're going to go unbeaten, but when did you realize, and let me take you back here, because this is ironic that you've been on Tennessee's schedule for a couple of years, one with you there, one without. We saw Wichita last year,
right,
early December, had Greg Marshall on the show. He says, hey, listen, I don't know what we're going to look like tomorrow night in Thompson Bowling. Truth is, I've got eight new players. This is a completely new team. This is a process. You know, the things that coaches say, and you go, yeah, okay, whatever. But it turned out to be true. That chemistry, because Coach Forbes, Tennessee's had trouble with their chemistry this year till late. That chemistry on that basketball team, explain it to me how you can have that many new players. They can have that run last year, lose some significant players from that team, and still come back and be great this year. How does that happen?
Well, we got three great guards. Not good, great. To show you the depth of our backcourt, Fred VanVleet, Ron Baker, and Clea Anthony Early were first team All-Valley, and T'Kell Cotton was second team All-Valley and the Defensive Player of the Year. And T'Kell Cotton was the MVP of the Valley Tournament. So it just, we are really deep on the perimeter, and by far, for lack of a better word, this is the most unflappable group of people, a team I've ever seen or ever coached. I've never seen a team that, with all the noise going on around them, no matter how big the moment is, how intense the moment is, good or bad, they stay the same. They're the most even-keeled people I've ever been around. And it starts probably with Fred VanVleet, our point guard, who was named third-team All-American this year only as a sophomore. And he's probably, he's the head of the snake. I mean, he's really good. And so our chemistry is off the charts. And a lot of it's developed in practice. Coach Marshall is a great practice coach. The guys are held accountable every day. Practice is very competitive. He's not afraid to coach his best player, which is sometimes I've seen in the past, just in my experience, that sometimes when a coach is afraid to coach his best player, then just, it really hurts chemistry. And coach is not afraid to coach his best player. And I think that really kind of, you know, it trickles down to the rest of them. And so it's really a unique team. They're very well coached by the head coach, and they just have they have an air about themselves and a confidence that they can win every game. And, you know, and I'm sure that probably comes from playing in the Final Four last year.
When I compare and look at what you guys have done and what you're doing and the style of ball you play, and coach, your teams you were involved with here at Tennessee, the thing that jumps out to me about March, and it's a thing you started the conversation with, and I'm not slighting the guys you had, because you saw some very good players here in the backcourt. Yeah. But when you have a backcourt that's three deep like that in today's college basketball, that's pretty tough to beat, isn't it?
It is, and you throw Clay Anthony in there, who's really a guard at the four. It'd be like having Tobias or Tyler Smith at the four, who's really truly a guard. It's almost impossible to guard them, because there's four spots on the floor that can score. And we have a three-headed monster at the five, You know, we have three guys that play the five position that are all good players, and we kind of just roll them out there each game and see who's playing the best. And so, you know, a lot of teams don't have that kind of depth. And but I really believe it's a guard game. I've always believed that. And we have them, and they're young. I mean, we'll have four. Well, all three of those guys will be back next year. And two of them are only sophomores, Baker and Van Fleet. So, you know, it's built to keep winning. And but you know, it's a lot of fun to coach those type of players. And they're a lot. This team is a lot like our 08 team, probably in a lot of respects. You know, with Lofton and Juwan and Tyler and Wayne, and then we had Ramar at the point. That team was, I mean, I don't know, you know, the 2010 team went farther, but the 2008 team was probably our best team, really, most talented team. And this team has a lot of those same characteristics, in my opinion.
And, you know, when you get that draw later, I guess, will brackets come out Sunday?
Right.
Do you guys go into March? And how does your team keep this? Because obviously you're going to have some pressure on you. You're unbeaten, and people are talking at you and looking at you. How do you keep the pressure from getting to those guys?
Well, because they don't really understand. The pressure's more about playing for us and playing to a level that we expect. If you came and watched film, I tell people this all the time. If you came and watched film in our film room after each game we played, you'd probably think we were 15-15. Instead of 30-0, because they're getting told every day what they're doing wrong, and so they're very grounded, they're very humble. They do have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, you know, Coach Pro used to talk about that. You know, we got guys who were Burger King All Americans who want to beat McDonald's All Americans. Well, we have the same thing here. I mean, our guys are not the most heavily recruited guys, and so they do have a little bit of chip on their shoulder. So it's not really hard to keep them grounded. As far as the pressure is concerned, you know, we keep them pretty insulated from all that. And I think they're a very mature group. They're not affected by the noise. They're not affected by the cameras. I mean, nobody in the country in the last 2 weeks, Tony, has had more media coverage than we have. I mean, our practices have been, it's almost comical when we go down to practice, all the cameras that are there. And it's great. I mean, Bobby Knight was at practice a week ago, you know, so they've become accustomed to it as well. And they know what people are wanting them to lose, you know, so there's that, you know, that other chip on their shoulder that they're going to prove them wrong.
Well, I love it, Coach. I just wanted to get you on and celebrate, what's happened with you guys and what's about to happen. And I really appreciate you taking some time out for us. And hopefully we can do this, as you guys get deep into the journey. And I really appreciate you coming on with us. Next stop, Dallas, Coach. Dallas.
Boy, I tell you what, it'd be unbelievable. Because I know how hard it was in 2010 to be 1 point away from Indianapolis. It was one of the lowest points for me as far as a coach, just knowing how hard it is to get to that point and not get that chance, you know. And, you know, hey, look, I don't know if we can win it or not, but I know we got as good a chance as probably about 10 or 12 teams that do. And, you know, there's nobody, I don't think there's anybody that we can't beat. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't be beaten because we can, but it's been a magical run. And, you know, I hope the Vols get in too. You know, I'd like to see, you know, Jarnell and Maimon and McCray and those guys get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. I think they got the type of team, if they can get in there, that, you know, they can beat some teams. So, I look forward to them doing well in the SEC tournament and getting a shot at the NCAA tournament.
Well put, Steve Forbes. You're a class act. Appreciate your time, my friend. Great talking with you.
All right, man. Stay in touch.
All right, buddy. Great Steve Forbes. Always good to catch up with him.